By Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Family Trust Federal Credit Union. A relationship you can trust. And by Kuster Commercial. Commercial real estate for the Carolinas. Carmen Miller Realty Group. Live where you love and love where you live. Now live from the Toast Cafe. Here is Patty Mercer.
Hello and welcome to Close Up Fort Mill TK. I'm Patty Mercer, broadcasting live today from Famous Toastery right here in TKK, South Carolina. And of course, we are coming at you live from WRHI FM 100.1 AM 1340. Today, we're talking with Eric Bedingfield. You might recognize that name. Of course, he received the Order of the Palmetto last night during our governor's State of the State address. And with him, Bob Norwood from All On Board. Today, we're talking about the 2018 Opioid Summit and how opioid addiction is impacting South Carolina. Before we get started, just want to say thanks to our presenting sponsors, Piedmont Medical Center, Family Trust Federal Credit Union, Kuster Commercial, Carmen Miller of the Miller Realty Group, and of course, co-sponsored by York Electric Cooperative, providing safe, reliable, affordable, and environmentally responsible electrical power, and Famous Toastery. Welcome to Close Up, Eric Bedingfield. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
You are in town today from Greenville to be the keynote speaker at today's York County 2018 Opioid Summit.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. And of course, Bob Norwood. Bob, you already told me you are here as a supportive presence today. We do appreciate you. You, of course, are the executive director of All On Board. Eric, we'll start with you. Bob's over there working hard because the summit actually starts today. It is. There's no more room in the end. Let me just tell you, between Congressman Ralph Norman and signing up on his website, and then also signing up through Keystone Substance Abuse and All On Board, we have quite an attendance to talk about what today.
Listen, this is an incredible topic that unfortunately not just South Carolina but many states in the nation are facing. I'm proud to be here today to play whatever role I can in helping us prevent opioid abuse from taking our family members away from us.
Now, you were recognized last night. You've spent the last 2 years leading an effort to combat opioid addiction in South Carolina. You yourself lost your son to an overdose, which this part just really breaks my heart. Easter morning, 2015. Tell us a little bit about your story.
I'm glad to do that. My son, Joshua, had a problem with addiction for quite some time. We had gone through this process for probably 5 or 6 years. Unfortunately, when it comes to opioid addiction, an individual doesn't generally recover instantly. Josh went through rehab and recovery and multiple times. Takes an effect on your family in a way that's incredibly impactful, both negatively and positively in some cases. Josh had actually overcome for a period of time. He had been clean for about 2 years, 3 months, I think 16 days. Had reestablished himself in a career, reestablished himself in a family. He had two children was headed in the right direction until a setback moment happened in his life, and he chose to use one more time. And unfortunately, instead of getting heroin, he wound up with carfentanil, and it was an instant death.
Wow. You know, this is the tragedy behind it. And, of course, we look at when someone wants to overcome this addiction, when they have so many positive things going, and yet one time is one time too many.
Yes, one time is definitely one time too many. I spent years in and out of NA meetings, Celebrate Recovery meetings, just any myriad of forms of peer counseling and interaction with families. And one of the things you will always hear in an NA meeting is one more time is bad. It's the worst possible thing.
And NA, what does that stand for?
Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay, so that is just like Alcoholics Anonymous. You have Narcotics
Yes.
Anonymous. And then is that for parents or those friends to be able to try to understand the mindset of someone with an addiction?
Generally in Narcotics Anonymous, it's mostly addicts themselves. I took a kind of a differing approach with my son in that I wanted to live this with him. I wanted to figure it out with him. I wanted to be a part of it. So generally in an NA meeting, you go around the room and, hi, I'm Eric, I'm an addict, or, you know, whatever. And in my particular case, it was, hi, I'm Eric, I'm a supporter. And I wanted to gain a better understanding. I thought I understood Josh's conversations with me, but what I found was I needed to establish an understanding from other people. I needed to try to figure it out in that way. And I'm not sitting here today saying I did figure it out, although I think I have wrapped my hands and arms around enough families to try to say we can have an impact and we can fix this problem to a degree. And if we don't make attempts at doing that, that death rate is going to continue to rise.
What strikes me, we thought we understood what addiction is. We thought as parents we could teach our kids what to avoid, how to protect their lives. What a foolish decision. We thought maybe we could just say, hey, you're going to sow your wild oats, but you'll get back on track and everything will be fine. This is different. How is this and why is this addiction different?
Well, it's so different because it sneaks up on families. And if we think about how we deal with things today as just a normal everyday life, you go to the drugstore, you buy over-the-counter medication, you come home, you pop a Benadryl, you take a cortisone cough and cold tablet when you have a cold, doctors prescribe medication, we put them in our medicine cabinets, we pull them out, we take our medications during the day for our normal illnesses like diabetes or other things, and we do it in front of our kids. And it becomes a normal, everyday...
responsible?
Yeah, thing to do. What I think we haven't realized as a society over time is that maybe we don't really need to be so open and aggressive with just taking a pill for everything that ails us. I think I've heard over and over again from families around the state who it just seemed normal. You know, you take your kid to the doctor, you have a wisdom tooth pulled, you come home with a prescription for pain, you take that prescription for a day or two or three, and it just seems maybe normal if there's still some pain on day four or day five. Unfortunately, there are many scenarios with those types of situations where the doctor didn't send home 3 or 4 days worth of that medication. You might have been sent home with 20 or 30 pills. And, you know, maybe we take the medication for 3 or 4 days and we stick it in the medicine cabinet and think, maybe I'll need it again in the future. And, you know, a month later, you twist your ankle, you have some pain, you just automatically go pull that medicine bottle back out. And maybe from some time ago, that would have felt normal. But what we've began to realize is this medication is addictive, and addictive to the point where maybe even after 4 or 5 days,
that is a scary statistic.
Yeah, you've already developed some level of dependency.
And if you have any type of genetic predisposition, then the tendency might be even greater. You might like it. Your body might become biologically addicted to it. I mean, it's bigger than just an emotional decision to take it to feel good. And I think that's hard for us to understand because we see young people using opioids. And you're like, but why would you want to step away from your life? You're the great part of your life. Enjoy every second of it. But, you know, so it's kind of hard to understand. When we talk about over-prescribing pain medication, that leads to a lot of leftover. And that leftover medication, I know, Bob, you've done a lot of work with All On Board in terms of medicine drop-offs. How is that changing from a statewide movement for making sure that the unused medicine does not hit the streets or our kids?
Well, traditionally in South Carolina, at least before now, the drug enforcement agencies, the DEA, have sponsored national drug take-back programs. And traditionally, local communities will work with pharmacies and others to create drop-off points on those specific days. What we're trying to do as a state at this point is expand those programs to become more than just a national day of drug take-back programs. We need this to become a regular, normal part of everyday society. Right now, I know in Greenville County there are 13 locations that you can drop off unused medication for permanent disposal. And we originally approached that concept some years ago by saying maybe we should locate those disposal points in the sheriff's office or in a police department or in the hospital. What we're trying to do today is expand those possibilities. Maybe folks won't want to go drop off those medications at the sheriff's office or a law enforcement agency. Maybe we should put them in more common places. Maybe they should be in the pharmacies themselves.
Which I think CVS just announced something along these lines, right?
CVS has adopted a number of policies over the last few months in relationship to drug take-back programs and disposal. Just yesterday, I believe, Walmart announced that they will begin issuing disposal bags with every prescription that is dispensed in a Walmart pharmacy for opioids. And in those bags, you drop your pills in them, you crunch the bag, a solution dissolves the medicine, creates it, it puts it into a situation where it's destabilized and unusable, and then you can just throw it away. What we got to do is get beyond the phase of thinking we can pour them in the toilet and flush them away, because then we harm other aspects of society and water treatment and things of that nature. So the hope is we'll get more and more and more of this unused medication off of the street and out of medicine cabinets, away from temptation from young people, and be
responsible. And that's one part of it. I just had to think medicine cabinet. Maybe we will get to the point where medicine cabinet will be named something else or be more like a privacy. But, you know, the medicine cabinet is typically in a bathroom, and we have so many jokes about how people in the medicine cabinet, you can't do that because for an addict, they are looking. I had a person tell me one time that an addict will find if there is medication around. They will find it. They will take it because that is how strong this addiction is. We need to come back. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other layers in this process of helping overcome this crisis, this opioid crisis that we're having in our nation right now. I want to say thanks to our presenting sponsors, Piedmont Medical Center, You Won't Believe What's in Your Own Backyard, Family Trust Federal Credit Union, A Relationship You Can Trust, Huster Commercial, Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas, Carmen Miller of the Miller Realty Group, Live Where You Love and Love Where You Live. More with Eric Bedingfield talking about drugs, opioid addiction right here in South Carolina. More Close Up when we return. Located in Fort Mill, the Kuster Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuster Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
On cold winter mornings and hot summer afternoons, we can beat the peak demand for electricity together. This is Mark Howie. Just go online to yorkelectric.net, sign up, and we'll let you know via email, text, or call when the demand is at its highest. All you do is turn off unnecessary lights and think twice before using your dishwasher, washing machine, or clothes dryer, and adjust your thermostat to use a little less heat or air during the beat the peak hours. At York Electric Co-op, we believe if we all cut back on energy use a little, we can make a big difference together.
Hey, from Famous Toastery in TKK, we want to thank you for your loyal patronage, and we're excited to announce that both Indian Land and Rock Hill Famous Toasteries are open and ready to serve you our delicious, always fresh breakfast and lunch, daily specials, and I could go on. You can be sure that each location of Famous Toastery is uniquely designed with the same great culture and experience that we're known for. We'll see you at Famous Toastery, where every server is your server. Carmen Miller and the Miller Realty Group understand that choosing the right home is just the beginning. Becoming part of a growing community, now that's where life happens. If you're looking for the right home, start with us. Our passion is helping you. Visit homesfortmill.com to see the most recent home listings and be sure to check out Carmen Miller's Talk of the Town, Carolinas, every Tuesday to discover even more reasons to love the Carolinas. Live where you love and love where you live. Carmen Miller Realty Group. Welcome home. homesfortmill.com.
Fad diets, magic pills, people holding up pants. If you struggle with obesity, you've seen it all. Everything except results. At Piedmont Medical Center, we know there's no magic solution for weight loss, but there is a medical solution. Weight loss surgery can not only help you maintain a healthy weight, it can also ease conditions that help you from living a healthy, happy life. Find out if surgical weight loss is the solution for you. Go to PiedmontMedicalCenterWeightLoss.com. That's PiedmontMedicalCenterWeightLoss.com. Or click on the banner to register for a seminar.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuster Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuster Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill TGK. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
Back, and you're listening to Close Up Fort Mill TGK. My guest today, I'm very honored to have a former member of South Carolina House, Eric Bedingfield, also recognized last night during the State of the State address by our Governor McMaster, Order of the Palmetto. Yes, Eric, congratulations for being awarded that. And Bob Norwood, Executive Director, all on board, having a heart-to-heart. Each of us at this table, we've lost someone close to us because of this addiction, and it's very painful. It hurts, especially when we know that oftentimes, as you had said, Eric, it's that one more time or that belief that you've overcome and you think you're ready to maybe be around the group of people that you used to be around before you kicked your addiction. There's just that little bit of, like, thinking that leads to a decision that ultimately takes the life of someone that we love. It's very close. It doesn't discriminate. We've seen the face of addiction, and this is not heroin addiction that we think of when we picture the 70s or a decision or someone living on the street. And yet we know this, there's still a stigma. There's a stigma attached, but this addiction has taken over the lives of many that never, ever, ever would have thought in a million years that they would be addicted to a prescription or a drug in the first place. What do you say to those that maybe have been blessed and have not personally experienced someone close to them going through this?
I tell you, this particular disease, it is no respecter of person. It knows no specific socioeconomic class, race, religion. And it is shocking from time to time how people perceive the word addict, the picture that comes into somebody's mind. Throughout this process of the Opioid Prevention Study Committee, which I chaired here in South Carolina, I have constantly been introduced to people who suffered with this addiction, who you would have looked at or passed in Walmart or at the gas station and never had a clue that they had a problem. I've met doctors who are now taking Vivitrol because they became addicted to opioids, and it's the one medication that prevents them from relapsing or having a reoccurrence. The face of this is just not what we would perceive. And because of that, there's a stigma that's created around this issue that causes us not to openly discuss it and talk about it and be forthright with one another. And us having the ability to have this discussion openly on air, on the radio, in person, at today's summit, it gives us the ability to put a different face on this and give people an opportunity to recognize. It could be your neighbor, it could be your grandmother, it could be your child, it could be your physician. There's no telling who could have this issue.
Absolutely.
So it's this opportunity today is just another focal point for us to have an opportunity to create an awareness, remove the stigma, so that we can more openly have a conversation.
Right.
About how to treat this moving forward.
Absolutely. Now, Bob, you've put together an incredible agenda as it relates to the message before someone should ever take an opioid, the message of what to do when, and even our first responders. And we are also seeing, you know, bills being passed, a focus now in our legislation in terms of making a difference from a legal perspective to help everybody understand that this is everybody's issue, even from the pharmaceutical companies and what they were told. I mean, it's horrible to think that at one time doctors were told this is not addictive. I don't even think there was the understanding of the possibility of what might happen going forward by taking the medication. So it's not the guilt, the solution, it doesn't rest on the shoulders of one person or organization. It really takes a big effort. And this summit, with all of the different speakers, we're looking at the national and state data. We're looking at how to save lives, the medication, the prescriptions, how one doctor and another doctor can have the same baseline of knowledge with what this patient is already taking. And again, you mentioned our senior citizens. You know, they're given lollipops with fentanyl, whatever that's called. There's just a lot of room for opportunity and conversation regarding this topic.
You're absolutely correct. And it's this holistic approach that the study committee attempted to approach this from. We looked at how do we increase our rate of prevention? How do we teach children? I'm talking kindergarten through college about this issue. We understand it has to be age appropriate. But we still have to take the time to teach even the least of these. Doctors, just this past week, the South Carolina Medical Association came out in support of the five-day prescription limit on opioids and many other things. I want to tell you that I'm not here today, nor do I believe Bob or anybody else at this summit is, to try to demonize the fact that opioid medication is necessary. We're not here to demonize doctors who prescribe this medication. All we are asking for is a generational change in the way we think about this. Like you mentioned a moment ago, in the late 80s, early 90s, when pain became that kind of fifth vital sign that doctors were trying to be responsible for with their patients, we were being told by the long-term opioid medication producers that it wasn't addictive. Doctors today are realizing and noticing and paying attention to the fact that that was not the case. And it may take us another generation to change those prescribing habits, but we have to do it. And fortunately, especially here in South Carolina, our doctors, our medical association, our hospital association are coming to the table and saying, let us find ways to help. Let us find ways to be involved in this process, control ourselves, and get this message out.
Such a vital message. Bob, thank you so much for putting together this summit today. We've got a few more minutes. Tell me what you hope to achieve through today's summit.
Well, as you were talking to Eric in the last half an hour, I was sitting here ticking off how many things that you've addressed that will be further addressed today. A lot of the things that that we talked about, I think that most of our public knows about, but they'll know some more specific information today. And we also have a doctor from the Charleston Medical Center that will be here with us today, too. So.
One thing about it, the panel today is impressive. I'm looking forward to learning straight from the source in all this holistic approach of overcoming opioid addiction and this national epidemic. Thank you so much, Eric Bedenfield, Bob Norwood, for being with me today. And thank you for tuning into this edition of Close Up Fort Mill TKK, presented by Piedmont Medical Center. If you haven't been to Piedmont Medical Center lately, then you haven't been to Piedmont. Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Houston Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas. Carmen Miller of the Miller Realty Group. Live where you love and love where you live. And thanks to York Electric Cooperative and Famous Toastery for co-sponsoring today's program. When the facts matter, close up counts. Until next time, this is Patty Mercer. Bye-bye.